So as Dr. Wang introduced, I used to study control theory and many years ago, but now most recently I have been working on mostly on wireless communication, telecommunication, and but that's always one of my passions to try to apply the all kinds of control methodologies to the computing or communication systems. So that's why I came up with this research. And personally, I didn't really realize that there's a workshop dedicated to control and computer systems. So it's good to know. But right now, it's just the first step of this research direction. But it's not, I hope that it's not really mature enough. So I hope we can move this forward. And there's quite a few challenging problems ahead. I'm just trying to grab some low-hanging fruits right now. So let's see how it goes. So outline, so some background information, and then I will talk about using some control terms I guess most of the people already know here. It's like modeling the system, then analyze the system, and then finally design the controller. And I will summarize the presentation and also try to highlight some future research directions in the end. So background, why do I want to do research on the peer-to-peer searching using control theory? So the peer-to-peer networks has been here, been around for quite a while, like over a decade, and actually has been quite successful. So people are using peer-to-peer networks, mostly running applications, peer-to-peer applications on the internet, and just share files, documents, and it has been widely used. But the one of the core research tasks in peer-to-peer networks is searching algorithms. So basically, just doing searching itself is kind of consuming a lot of communication bandwidth and also the computing power to just for the control part. And I mean, to do the searching. So the data sharing and the downloading the data from the peers, that's a separate research topic, which is not really the focus in this paper yet. So just try to clarify this. So I'm just focusing on the how to use control theory to analyze the peer-to-peer searching in this sense. So far, there are quite a few peer-to-peer search algorithms here. And I think people are familiar with at least some of these. And Napster is one of the first one, which is already closed. But they were kind of a pioneer on the peer-to-peer sharing. But they are not really a peer-to-peer network. Peer-to-peer, I mean, everybody is equal. There is no central server. But that's not really the case for Napster, because they actually are using some centralized controller, or it's actually a computer server, to provide the directory service so that whenever people want to find something, they just go to that server to find the index. But there's some pure peer-to-peer searching systems like Nutella. For Nutella, basically, once a peer wants to search for something else, they just send a broadcast message. And this message basically will be propagated through all the neighboring peers. Then the neighboring peers will rebroadcast. This is kind of a broadcast flooding. But in the end, still they can reach all the other peers. But you can see that when the system goes larger and larger, there might be some scalability problem because of the broadcast nature. So that's why actually in the early stage of Nutella, there was actually some system crash when the system is running up. And so that's why people are coming up with some better ideas to try to avoid the peer broadcast approach. Like in some older, actually, it was a popular one, but now I think it's also shut down. Kaza, and they were using like kind of hierarchical super peers, which means just a subset of the nodes are actually doing the broadcast. All the others are just depending on the super peers to help them to do the searching. And also the more recent one is BitTorrent, but it's actually also depending on some central servers. So there are a whole bunch of different peer-to-peer searching algorithms which are more or less based on the broadcast that's why we call it unstructured, because it's kind of flooding the system. And there's always some scalability problem because of the flooding. And but you can see that there's some basically system requirement in terms of communication bandwidth and also the processing power in each particular peer. And more recently, there are actually some more dedicated research on how to make this peer-to-peer searching more scalable. They are basically proposing some structured searching algorithms. In this case, they are all under the umbrella of the distributed hash table, which means they use a distributed hash to basically to distribute it, the searching information among all the peers. It's not just one peer doing all the peers do just they should help other peers to do the searching. So some control information is distributed among the peers. That's why they call it distributed hash. And the good thing about this is that they actually they make it more scalable, in the sense that when you are doing the real searching, you are not really broadcasting. You are just sending information to some limited number of peers. Then they can help you to find the target. And in terms of real system, they're actually also providing some hybrid of both unstructured and structured searching. So given all this, there are a lot more than this peer-to-peer searching algorithms. So given all these algorithms available, one thing always bothers me is that there's people are basically doing something like break and make. So you invent this system, but they don't really analyze them. They just see how this goes. And if the system crashes, they just try to reinvent a better algorithm. But they never really try to analyze the existing system and also try to improve it based on the system dynamics. And that's where the control theory comes into play. So for me, I have been interested in trying to do some control theory-based analysis for peer-to-peer system quite a few years back, but I never really materialized that until now. So the research challenges are like this. Once you're scaling the peer-to-peer system to like thousands or even millions of peers, there will be some limitation on the communication bandwidth, even on the wired networks. And also the computation capacity for each peer is also limited because you cannot really process all the queries from all the other peers in the network when there are like millions of queries coming in limited time. So also the network topology is always changing, even for the internet. No, I'm not really talking about mobile wireless environment. I'm talking about the internet, fixed peers, but still the network topology is always changing because the peers are coming and go and they turn this on and off. And also the routing policy, basically the existing peer-to-peer routing or searching algorithms, they are all using different routing protocols. And so basically all this information is changing. So can we provide some generic platform so that all the existing peer-to-peer search algorithms can fall into the same generic model? That's what I'm trying to do. And in terms of the existing research methods, there are some measurement-based research. Basically, they just create this peer-to-peer system, then they measure the system performance in terms of like the bandwidth they used and the time delay, things like that. They measure them in a limited time, then they try to see how the system performs. And also there are some static analysis. What I mean is they do some steady state analysis. So there's no dynamic system behavior modeling yet. And there's some stochastic based analysis, but that's not really capturing the dynamic behavior for each particular peer. So for me, to model a large-scale peer-to-peer search algorithm is not really a trivial task. So I just start with a linear one. So I think this is a very mature theory for so that all the tools are ready in my toolbox. So I just go and use them, basically. I don't really try to invent any advanced control theory for this. So I'm borrowing the state space mathematical model for P2P search particularly. But I'm defining the state and the input and output just for peer-to-peer specific environment. So but as you can see that the states are actually representing the query data rate, the query data coming to each peer. So that's the critical state we want to to model and to analyze. So basically, when there are like a large amount of queries coming into one particular peer, and each peer will rebroadcast or repropagate, forward the queries to all the neighboring peers, the query data is kind of flowing among the peers. So that we want to see what the dynamic of these peers, this query data from all the peers. So that's why we are modeling this using the state, using the, as a state. And but the in the A and B matrix, the parameters are representing the network topology and the for different routing searching protocols and network topology. The parameters are changing. But one thing I want to highlight is that for AII, so basically the diagonal elements in A metric, that's basically representing the processing rate for each particular peer. What I mean that when the query load is coming to peer I, it has to constantly process the query so that the load can be reduced, right? The input is a query, but you want to reduce the load by processing it. And so basically the AII of T represents the processing power for each particular peer. And also the query can come not only from its own users, it could come from other peers. So that's why it's kind of, it's not just AII, it could be from all the other neighboring peers. For all the other neighbor peers, once they have some query data coming from J to I, we define that AIJ as to represent the network topology. That means basically there is a connection between I and J, and the query actually is coming from J to I. And in addition to the rebroadcast or re-forwarding the query data, there are some original query coming from peer itself. So that's why the input U is coming to play. This is a very generic state space model, but it's kind of also specific to peer-to-peer in the sense that it doesn't really, for example, AIJ, when J is forwarding the query from J to I, it doesn't need to do the other way. So it's not really just a generic state space model. It's kind of a specific model. So given that, we really want to do some analysis and see how it goes. So the first thing you want to do is a stability analysis. It's also, again, this is a very basic control theory analysis. I'm just using the linear control theory result. Try to see that. Actually, if we do some linear transformation of the model itself, we can convert it to a lower form, lower triangle form, right? For metric A. So by doing that, we're actually keeping the same stability characteristic of the system. And the eigenvalue of the metric A is not changing. And basically, make our analysis easier. It's showing that as far as the metric A cap is stable, the original system is actually stable because we are only doing some linear transformation. So basically the result is like since the diagonal elements in this metric A cap is actually the same as the original metric A, and as we defined before, the processing power is always helping the peer I to reduce the query data load. So the diagonal elements in this metric is always negative, which means all the eigenvalues, all the poles in this control system is negative. So it's always stable in that sense. But stability is not really the goal we want. We also want to study how fast each query can go and how far it can go. So basically means the reachability or controllability. Once you give a query from a peer I, can it actually reach all the other peers in the same system, given that there are n number of peers? So we are basically just borrowing the controllability criteria in the control theory, and it's showing that if you go back to the same metric here, it's showing that in the second it's AI minus one AI, right? So it's from the second top left to the second right bottom one, that semi-diagonal row represents the reachability, which means that if all that row is non-zero, the peer can actually be propagated all through the network. This also can be basically proven by using the controllability criteria in the linear control theory. And the next one we want to study is the real dynamic for each state. So we want to see that if there's actually a closed form solution to all these states. So again, this is basically just very basic control theory, and we can actually derive the result based on the model we have. And basically, some observation of this solution is that if the peers are heterogeneous, which means they don't really provide the same equal capability in terms of processing data, then there might be some bottleneck. But the bottleneck actually comes from the peers who are having the lowest processing power. That actually will basically become a hurdle in the whole system. And this is showing an example in the, because there are so many different peer-to-peer searching algorithms, I'm just showing that in this particular super peer searching algorithm, how to basically specify the system model for this particular peer-to-peer search algorithm. This one basically is showing that we don't necessarily need to, in the super peer search algorithm, we don't necessarily need to model every peer, to model the dynamic of every peer. Because in this case, only the super peers have to broadcast the query data. And all the other peers, they still send query data, but they only to send the data to their representatives, which are the super peers. So in this case, we only find out all those super peers, which are Si, and each super peer Si may have multiple peers, which are basically depending on this particular super peer. So we only need to model the dynamic of all these super peers, which is supposedly to be a smaller system. But the theory still applies. But there are some interesting observations based on a similar analysis. It's showing that the successful searching rate is dependent on there's some bottleneck here. And basically, the bottleneck is due to the lowest processing rate of those super peers who are having the lowest amount of processing power. And that will become the bottleneck even in the super peer case. Because previously people are thinking if we have the super peer solution, supposedly it will be much more scalable, but actually it's not really the case because some super peers may still become a hurdle in the whole system. And also in terms of communication bandwidth capacity, the super peers have to provide much more communication bandwidth than the regular peers. So that basically means even if you are using super peer approach, the super peer itself is requiring much more system resources than the regular peer-to-peer system. So there are a lot more analysis for this in the paper, but I'm just trying to highlight that we could apply the generic mathematical model and analysis method to different peer-to-peer search algorithms. And finally, the synthesis, basically designing the controller. So I think this for most of the computer engineers or scientists, they if they don't have a control background, they think the system is working and we analyze it, seems like it works fine. But if we can add a feedback loop, this is actually quite normal in the for control engineers. So if we can add an actual loop to feed the information back to the input of the system, we can actually come up with a better system in terms of performance. So in this case, if we want to optimize the system state, in this case the query data, and we can actually just control how the user are feeding the queries to the system, and which basically is control variable U. And the thing we want to design is basically the gain K. And this all, again, we are using the very basic optimal control design, controller design algorithms. And but basically, we are trying to demonstrate that by doing this, we can doing the tracking and optimize the system performance more accurately by adding this feedback. So there are some variables for this, but I won't really discuss that in the presentation. It's in the paper. But also I don't really, this is, so far it's only a small project. I don't really have enough time to expand this and to do more risk to experiments yet. But hopefully I can do more simulation and experiments in the near future. And another thing we should take care of is that in the real system, when there are so many peers, we cannot each particular peer cannot really know the state from all the other peers. So how to localize the algorithm, especially control feedback algorithm, that's something we have to investigate. So right now the proposal is we don't really try to stick to the global optimal solution using the control theory. We just try to use whatever information we can collect locally and use that local information to do some local optimal feedback. And hopefully this will make a suboptimal global solution, but may not really be the case. So there's more research to be done here. So in summary, we basically, in observation of that, most of the existing peer-to-peer search algorithms are just giving without really being strictly analyzed. We want to come up with a mathematical model, linear model actually, to try to capture the system dynamics, and then try to use the feedback control theory to analyze them and see if we can further optimize them and make it practical. And in terms of future research, again, as I said, right now we are only analyzing the control part, I mean the search part. So, but the real peer-to-peer system includes both searching as well as the data downloading, data sharing. So how to model the data downloading part, that's another big task we want to tackle in the future. And another thing I really want to do in the future is how to apply this to the mobile wireless peer-to-peer networks or even the mobile peer-to-peer mobile environment. So that's another exciting new research topic I encourage people to start to think of, at least from now. All right, I think that's I have what I have. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question. There is a slide, I guess it's titled Analysis Solution. You have a closed form, yeah, for X. That first equation is U1 over minus A11?
Yes.
Okay.
A11 itself is a negative variable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't clear to me. So yeah, the minus may go out of the division there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it should be the case.
It was a typo.
Okay.
Okay,
On some previous slides, you had that the system matrices were time area.
Which one?
AFT. Or is it just so that also the diagonal components or
this one?
The one you have there.
Okay.
Is the linear system, is it time invariant or is it time invariant as indicated here?
A of t. Yeah, in the general case, it should be time variable. But in my analysis right now, I'm assuming it could be changing, but it changes much slower than the state itself. So, in the analysis, I'm taking them as fixed constant. Yeah.
I have a couple of questions. One is, from the previous original equation to this equation, how do we make sure these diagonal elements are still negative? Intuitively, the original one is negative. I can understand about that, but how could you guarantee they are still negative after you apply the transformation?
We switch the columns when two states, the correspond, like for example, state I and J. When Aij is bigger than zero, I switch the column I and J. But we didn't really change any diagonal elements in the matrix. So the diagonal elements are remaining the same. We didn't really change those. That's why they are the same. Yeah.
Another thing is that when you design a controller, what's your control objective?
The control objective, initially, it was just try to minimize the state x. But in the paper, we're actually also having another, this is a simple version. In the picture, there's another version to show that we want to basically giving any reference, any desired target for x. And we want the x to track that particular reference signal. There's another equation for that. Yeah.
Any other questions?
So I can. There is intuitive that you're proposing a linear quadratic control.
Yeah.
Here, right.
Yeah.
And with the zero degree Kani equation, then I don't know. Is it? How do you guarantee that the system is going to be, for example, detectable?
To be what?
Detectable. In order to apply, you know, because you say that the. Parameters of the matrix A are going to converge to give you the model, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if you end up having a model that is not detectable at least, then you're going to have trouble implementing the linear quadratic control.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we have this like distributed synthesis, which means we try to localize the algorithm to treat the global optimization to some localized suboptimal solution, because it's not really practical to learn all the states from all the other peers, not really feasible actually. So we try to make a local solution first, even though it may not be really an ideal solution.
No, but my question is more angular. The matrix A may give you values that actually wouldn't allow you to apply directly the linear quadratic control. But how do you make sure that the matrix A is going to be suitable in this linear system to give you a unique solution for the Riccati equation you have there? I just thought about it. This is a concern because sometimes you just end up having entries in the matrix A that may not allow you to apply the LQG.
Oh, I see your point. So the A, as far as the lower triangular form, I think it satisfies the requirements, positive,
that.
Right?
Yeah. So you got to make sure that all those entries are good. The entries that it lowered by that
I see,
lower
I
triangular
see.
Part are going to be different than zero, right?
Actually, that's a good point. Yeah, that's really a good
just
point.
Check it out. You got to be careful with that.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll check it out. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Speak again.
Thank you.